We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, my brother from another mother, conservative radio host, he's actually an extraordinary radio guy. I disagree with 99% of what he said. Okay? But he is one of the best in the game. Shelley Winter, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's a delayed response.
It really was delayed. I don't think they wanted to show you the love, man.
No, I don't think so. These young people, they don't like me at all. But I did bring them bagels, so.
You got the good bagels, too.
Einstein's.
Very good bagels. Thank you, my friend. How are you, man?
Appreciate I'm wonderful. See, I was brown-nosing with Reggie right there?
Man, that was silly,
classic
man.
Reggie. Come on, classic brown-nosing.
What? Come on, man. He came up and gave Reggie Rouse, news director for V103. Shelly comes in and gives Reggie a full-body hug. It's too damn early for a full-body hug.
No, it's
you got to give him a bro hug, man.
That's a classic. I haven't seen Reggie in probably like 5 or 6 years.
Reggie did not want to hug you back.
Oh, of course he does. Reggie's not a touchy-feely guy. A touchy-feely, but I am.
Shelly, I don't want you hugging me that way. Actually like you.
I haven't seen I've known Reggie for many, many, many years.
He didn't act like it.
He's not a touchy-feely guy. And not only that, but I'm indebted to him because he's the one who first saw that I could do this.
Right.
He's the first guy.
That is true.
And so I'm indebted. You're right.
Program director at that time when you were here on WALK.
Absolutely. So he was, so I'm indebted to him. So if I ever see Reggie, I'm going to show nothing but love.
Right.
And I'm also going to brown nose.
Yeah. Yeah, you did that.
I did that. Right. It's classic brown.
It's all good, man. Okay, let's get into some stuff. Bloomberg, big hot topic. A new poll came out. Bloomberg is actually now, he actually now has more African-American support than Bernie Sanders.
Yep.
And remember, Bernie Sanders has true progressive ideas that absolutely connect to a lot of the African-American agenda, such as the cost of education, mm-hmm. criminal justice reform, et cetera. Bloomberg has yet to articulate plans in those arenas, but he is being embraced. Right? Now, here's why he's being embraced, Shelley. Almost 70% of Democrats who are voting, we're talking about real voting Democrats in the primary, they still say that beating Trump is the number one priority. What that says on the reverse is this. We don't really care as much about personal ideology of the candidate.
Have we ever?
I think with Trump, it did change.
But have we ever?
Let me answer that question.
Yeah.
Because with Clinton, I think we just liked him. With President Barack Obama, when he ran for president, liked him, right? He wasn't hard on policy at all, mm-hmm. okay? Trump came in, and even though he did not articulate policy, the way he coded his language made it very clear during his campaign, he's going to appoint conservative, like real conservative judges. He's
Nothing
going
wrong
to
with that.
Deregulate multiple industries, including the EPA. Like he said he would do all of this, and people gravitated to that policy message, even though it was cloaked in a lot of malarkey. But
two things with Bloomberg. He's throwing around a lot of money. People are talking about his ad spending. His ad spending, I think, pales in comparison to what he's spending on the ground. I just saw the Little Rock mayor just endorsed him. What is the Little Rock mayor doing endorsing Bloomberg, if not for some other ulterior motive?
Well, it's probably like the campaign chairman for the state.
I mean, so I think that he's throwing money around on the ground, which you can't ignore that. So I think that's part of it. I also think what's part of it is and I want to go back to what your statement is. When you talk about African Americans being solely concerned with beating Trump.
No, not solely. 70% say that's the number one priority.
So a majority.
Majority, correct.
A majority, a strong majority. When we say that, we have to look at it at the first time in our history, in recent history, we as African Americans, not I'm a conservative, you're a liberal, mm-hmm. we as African American community had an excellent opportunity to really steer the direction of this presidential election. Because the Democrats needed us. Because not only African Americans, 70%, a large majority of white Democrats want to beat Trump. So we had a golden opportunity back in early 2019 to steer the conversation to where we wanted it to go. So what we did was we bought into a message of who can beat Trump. And that allowed the Democrats to ignore completely primary policy solutions that African Americans wanted. Reparations was in the news that much, that long.
Yeah, but it
and
wasn't
it
in the news at all for Republicans. Let me make one correction.
Well, it doesn't matter about Republicans. We're not talking about Republicans. You're talking about black Democrats who support beating
correction.
Trump.
Gotcha. Let me make one correction. I'm not a liberal.
Right.
Okay.
Did I say you? Did I
yep,
say you? I didn't mean
liberal.
To.
Right.
I didn't mean
so
to.
I'm not a liberal, but. Let's go
so fast how they run from that word.
I know, right? Let's go back to the state of the African American vote, right? Politics is a tricky game. It really is. What Trump has figured out is that no matter what he does, 38% of people will support him. 38%.
42%, but that's okay.
No, it's 38.
It's 42. Yeah,
come on,
okay,
man.
Okay, go ahead. We don't let's
right,
not quibble okay. over that. It's 4%.
Right, it's 4%.
That's right.
So his real battle is to get the 12%. Who says, yeah, I don't like them, but I like these policies. I don't like them, but I like these federal judge judicial appointments. I don't like him. I don't think he's a role model, but he has deregulated a market that I care about.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Now, go on further, because we're talking to, on Black Talk Radio, we're talking to a black audience, and you mentioned 70% of black people, voters, want to beat Trump. Go further with that. I don't like him, possibly, but I do like the fact that jobs are ubiquitous. I don't like him, but the fact is the economy is humming along. I don't like him, but...
Let's talk about that.
There are other things going on.
Let's get into the weeds.
Well, we don't have to get into the weeds.
No, damn that. We're getting into the weeds.
No, we don't have to because...
We're going to a my show.
We've never gotten into the weeds.
Well, we
for 50
will.
Years, African-American leadership said...
You don't want to get into the weeds now.
No. I do. I just want to say getting into the weeds becomes a conversation of what's really good and what's really bad.
That's
and what's
what we
really
should
helpful.
Talk about.
No, I think what we should talk about is what we've always talked about as African Americans.
No.
Jesse Jackson said, our black men wouldn't sell drugs if they had opportunity for jobs. He never said, our black young men and women would not sell drugs or prostitute or whatever bad criminal behavior
okay.
they're doing if they had good-paying jobs,
yeah,
or if
great.
They had wage increases, or if they had jobs that, where they got moved up to management in 2 weeks. Nobody ever said that.
Okay,
the
here's my
argument
response.
Was always
here's
job opportunities.
Here's my response. I don't give a damn what other people have said or not said, number one. So let's get into the actual weeds.
Okay.
The rating system that Trump and his administration currently uses is a U3 rating system, which only takes into account 1 hour for 1 month. Okay, if you work 1 hour in 1 month, just think about this. 1 hour. In 1 month, you are considered employed under the Trump administration's survey model. The real model is a U6 rating system that actually calculates full-time versus part-time, livable wages, contract work, seasonal labor. Okay.
So what is that number?
So that number is still double digits of unemployment for African Americans, and
we're double digits. So now we're comparing.
Just,
is this,
just
is it low?
Me,
is it low?
I'm just
in U6. Is it low? Just answer that question, Rashad.
Shelly.
In U6 determination, is it yo? Is it low?
Don't make me cut your damn
no,
mic.
No, you don't have to cut my mic. I'm asking a question.
I'm making a point, and I will answer every question
That's
you
it.
Have.
Okay, man.
Because I didn't interrupt yours.
Okay.
Okay. So the point is this: the U6 rating system is still double unemployment rate in the African American community. As
is
far
it
as
low?
Weight is lower, but the trend
that's
of lower
matters.
Well, the trend that's lower started in 2009.
Doesn't matter when it started, is it kept
it
going?
It does matter when it started.
Does that it, is it going?
Why does
is
it wait a minute. Why does it not matter when it started?
I'll tell you why.
Those are real numbers that started because of
that's
policy.
Fine. That's fine. I won't
but
deny.
They started under President Barack Obama.
Great.
We all know that.
Is Barack Obama president right now?
He's
no.
not.
Okay, so is it continued since Barack Obama started it?
And that's the credit.
So that's
Trump.
All that matters.
Listen,
that's all
that's
that matters.
The credit Trump should receive. That's not all that matters.
It is. When you're voting okay. now, vote Trump versus a Democrat, all that matters is what's happening now.
Shelly,
I can't look back to 2009.
Your president has taken sole credit, and he has said
he should.
That he...
That's what politics and sports and everything else
well, but
is
but
about.
But it's a lie, and I should call it out. It's a lie. You know it's a lie.
Okay.
You
if,
know... Trump, I mean, Shelly,
if
you
Reggie
know
Rouse
Trump
came to-
lied when he said he inherited an economic mess from Obama. That was a lie. Obama inherited an economic mess
from Bush. We all
right?
know that. Everybody said
but
that.
But your president lies about that in order to trick especially black folks.
No.
He wants to trick black people into believing.
Why do you think we're so stupid that we can be tricked? The fact that
but
it matters.
But that's what he wants to do.
No, he doesn't
that's
want
what he, to. Well, okay, so why is he lying?
I'll tell you.
Why is he lying?
Because if I were to come here right mm-hmm. now and mm-hmm. do overnights
mm-hmm.
and Reggie said, do overnight, Shelley Winter, and the ratings went up. I would say, look at me. I made the ratings go up overnight.
But
no,
maybe,
Hold on.
Maybe you actually did.
Hold on. No one's
We got to break.
Let me just finish this point. No one's ever going to say, well, it started that under the guy that was there on before.
Shelley, that is such a silly-ass comparison. All right.
It's a real comparison.
That's a ridiculous comparison. We got more on the other side. I'm here with Shelley Winter. You're getting real with the Realest Man on Radio. What's happening? Welcome back. News and Talk 1380 WAOK, the Rashad Richard Morning Show. I'm here with Shelley Winter, conservative guy. Shelley and I had a discussion during the commercial break. And Shelley, you did not know that we were actually still recording. Let's go ahead and play the conversation.
Listen to your black ass talk all day about how much you can't stand black folks.
Ain't two of them in the history of the world that's worth a squirrel for.
Oh, how much you love white folks?
Best thing the good Lord ever did for the planet Earth.
Ruckus, you black as Ace of Spades, man.
I don't see the need for you to go and insult the man after a game of checkers. We've been reminiscing all day, looking in each other's eyes, acting like we like each other. Now you got to go ahead and remind me of my ailment.
It's funny because, really, if you're a Boondocks fan like I am, there's so many other clips to play. Like, for instance, Martin Luther King telling y'all, to be quiet for Party of the or Stink Meter, when a homeboy wanted to get off the plantation. That's me. I'm standing here telling y'all trying to sell a script to get off the plantation? But that's it. Those are what Boondock fans would have rather have heard that than calling me Uncle Ruckus.
Yeah. What's really interesting about this whole plantation ideology, because it's really a great selling point. You play on the historical disaster of slavery, something that many white Republicans still refuse to admit was actually detrimental to our country's progression. But you play on that by using the word plantation, and you tell black people who tend to be progressive or tend to vote for Democrats, you say, get off of the Democratic plantation.
Right.
And I think it's really interesting because you tell them to get off of the Democratic plantation while offering them the Republican plantation.
No, absolutely not. We tell that. Well, so let me say why I made that specific reference to the Boondocks episode is because you said, and I quote earlier, 70% of African Americans will vote for any Democratic candidate. They only want to beat Trump. That's not a voter perspective that anyone that's 13% of the population should be looking at.
Why?
Because that's a plantation. Because what you're saying is, hey, I'm on this plantation. All I want to do is get that guy out of being my master.
Listen, here's the problem.
Let me finish. Hold on, you said you weren't going to cut me off.
This is a conversation. Here's the problem with your analysis thus far. You're not taking into account how they feel about Trump. Remember.
It doesn't matter
how they feel about Trump. If they're taking a position that's anti-Trump and pro anyone else but him,
right,
that means that is an indictment on the leadership of President Trump.
Absolutely. But let's go further, though. You have seven candidates. Let's take away Yang, Steyer, and Klobuchar. You have really four candidates. Four candidates who are not on the same page policy-wise at all. You've got Bernie Sanders way over here to the left. You got a little bit Elizabeth Warren, a little bit shaded, but closer to Sanders on the left. And then you got Buttigieg, quote unquote, in the middle. And then you've got Biden and Bloomberg to the center right. So to say that you are willing to vote for any one of those people, even though they have on a spectrum from center right to all the way far left in policy prescriptions, which is most important to African Americans, if you're saying you'll vote for any of those people, it is by definition a plantation that you won't lose.
Let's talk about policy. Let's talk about the policy perspective of all of the people in the Democratic primary. Because number one, nobody running in the Democratic primary is actually center right. Nobody. And when we talk about center left,
Biden's very much center right.
He is definitely not center right.
He's 36 years in the Senate.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean his
he wrote a
his
crime
current
bill.
Today policies are not.
So what do we go off
right.
of if we can't go off a man's voting history?
Are you
and
serious
policy?
Right now, Shelley?
Yes.
Shelley, what you go off of is what they're actually campaigning on.
Really?
So that's what you're supposed to do.
Now, I'd like to use that quote on my Facebook page, because that right there is why we haven't progressed in the 40-year period that we've been 60-year period that we've been voting. Because you will say,
Shelley,
I'm not going to go off of what you voted
Shelley,
for and written.
Now, damn it, I'm going to cut your damn mic, man. Shut the hell up. Good God, man. You realize this is my show, not yours.
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I get confused. I'm sorry.
Cut your microphone. Now, the point is this. policy that you just talked about
right.
has to be weighed in the current context of the political marketplace. The policy of Trump used to be that he was pro-Democrat, pro-liberal, pro-progressive. He went on national media, talked about pro-policy, pro-progressive, pro-liberal stuff. Now, when he ran for president, he took a hard-line conservative approach. That's cool. You guys accepted that. You ran with it. That became his policy context. Now, all of a sudden, you're saying that those who are running for president today cannot enjoy the same flexibility in policy realignment as Trump did. And I don't get that.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Now you're saying, hey, look at the past of Biden. Look at the past of Bloomberg. But then when people brought up the past of Trump, you said, oh, really? You're still talking about that?
No, no one said that. Hold on.
A lot of people said that.
No, you're conflating.
A lot of people said that,
Shelley. Like you just said, this is me talking. So it's not a lot of people. This is me talking to Rashad.
I'm not saying Shelley said that. Right. I'm saying a lot of people said that about Trump.
Let me say this. The only two things that Trump could be defined as a liberal on were pro-gay marriage and abortion. Those two issues, any other issue, Trump went on Oprah and said that China was robbing us 25 years ago. That tariff position wasn't a new conservative position. Guns, he could care less about guns. You know he's pro-law and order because you hammered him on the Central Park 5 ad for the last 4 years.
You call that pro-law and order?
Well,
the fact that he took
penalty,
out
death penalty is pro law and order.
Oh, you got to be kidding me! Death penalty is pro law and order.
Well, if you're for death penalty, you're for people being arrested and tried and convicted of a crime.
No, you are for the conviction of these five black and brown people.
I said, see, you like to go into the weeds.
You got to go into the weeds.
You don't.
It's a talk show.
We
go into the weeds here.
No, but you go into the weeds. I'm not going into the weeds.
Okay, I'm going into the weeds.
And then you threaten to cut off my mic when I talk.
We're going into the weeds. When you overtalk me while I'm making a point,
No, well, I was making a point and you cut me off, dog. For real.
If we were in a bar right now,
I'd cut your drinks off. Because we are talking right now.
If you really believe.
My point is the only two things that Trump could be defined as a Democrat or a liberal on were abortion, his pro-abortion stance, and pro-marriage stance, pro-gay marriage stance. Outside of that, he wasn't changing anything necessarily. He might have been going heavier on them, but he wasn't changing anything. That's the first thing. But the second thing is he wasn't a politician where you could tie policy to him. Bloomberg and Biden are politicians that you can tie policy to. And to say, I don't care what Biden's done over 36 career in the Senate, I'm only caring about what he's running
let's
on,
go beyond,
is why we keep getting
Shelley,
fooled every 4 years.
Let's go beyond that, man, because you're boring me now. Oh. Now, you said those were his only two policy issues. That's incorrect. He also said that the American economy does better under Democratic leadership than under Republican leadership. He said that.
That's not a liberal position. That's a statement. That's a statement he made. That's not a liberal position.
Unfortunately, you contextualize everything into liberal and conservative. Here's my point. My bigger point is this. Conservatives decided to ignore his policy stances.
He had no policy. He wasn't a politician.
He had a policy stance.
No, he didn't. He was a businessman who got on TV.
How did he not have a policy stance?
Well, here's my point.
What does policy stance mean? Like, it doesn't mean I have a policy stance. I've never been in government.
Right. Okay, so he was.
Do you have a policy stance?
I do.
Okay, that means that you can have a policy stance.
And if I run for president, I can change that policy stance because I never enacted.
Only if you've never been elected. That is insane.
Of course it is because you can't. What my point is.
Oh, my God. So a person who thought some way about something 20 years ago while they were in the U.S. Senate, cannot think about that same thing a different way 20
years
later.
Not if he wrote policy and voted for policy
that's
diametrically
bull.
Opposed
that's bull.
To what he's saying now.
That's bull, and you know
no,
it.
No, it's not.
Let me give you some actual
the
statistics.
The reason why the black community hasn't moved up in 40 years of voting Democrat is because of what you just said. That
it doesn't matter
what their policy is.
Cut that music. Cut the music. I didn't say it doesn't matter what the policy is, but let me give you some real stats.
As you said what they're saying.
Let me give you some real stats. I never said it doesn't matter what the policy is. I told you to look at Trump's policy as to the reason he has been unable to secure the African-American vote. Nine out of 10. The survey was done 2 weeks ago. 9 out of 10 African-Americans believe that
what
President
survey?
Trump, Rasmussen, 9 out of 10 African-Americans believe that Trump is actually racist. 8 out of 10 African Americans believe that he should be removed from office today. Now,
what does Rasmussen put at his turnout or his vote would be in the African American community? And it's plus 20%. That's what Rasmussen said.
Do you really believe Shelly.
Absolutely. And I see it every day.
Okay, that's fine. That's what you believe.
I see it every day.
Let me read to you the
Black
actual stat.
Black men especially. Black women are going to stay with
I'm
the Democrats.
I'm glad you have a belief system.
I see it.
Listen, that's where your faith is at. That's fine.
That's why I see it.
It'll be a cold day in hell before 20% of Black folks vote for Trump.
I bet
he
you.
He said that would happen last time. It never happened. He said it would happen. It never happened. You know how many Black people voted for Trump?
He got 17% out of Wayne County, which enabled him to win Michigan.
Oh, my God.
That matters.
Man got the same amount of Black people to vote for him that voted for Mitt Romney.
It
was the same exact number of Black people.
But Rashad, you're smart enough to know our presidential elections aren't national. So you have to look at state by state, county. Hold on. Let me finish my point, brother.
Let me break down the numbers.
County by county.
You're trying to stop me from breaking down the numbers. I'm
going
to break down the numbers, all right? On the Democratic presidents, and I want you to rebut these numbers. I'm going to give you a commercial break to try to deal with it.
Okay.
On the Democratic presidents, Black families' income grew on an average of $895 annually, but only grew by $142 annually under Republican presidents. The Black unemployment rate fell by a net of 7.9% across the 26 years of Democratic leadership, but went up a net of 13.7% during 28 years of Republican presidencies. Across the years of Democratic leadership, Black poverty declined by a net of 23.6%, but grew by 3% under Republican leadership in the White House. Now, grapple with those numbers.
I don't have to grapple with them. I'll tell you my answer right
those
now.
Those are real numbers.
What's going on right now under this president? Poverty is down. That's a number that you just said.
Actually, let's go.
Forget
let's
it,
go
man.
Back.
Forget. Don't ask
let's
me to answer.
Back.
Don't ask me to answer a question.
Wait,
brother,
hold on.
Cut me off when I answer it.
You said
just
poverty
said,
is down.
I need you to grapple with these numbers.
Poverty for Black people is not down, sir.
It is. Wages are up. Poverty is down.
Let's talk about
jobs
the wage argument. See, those are talking points.
No, those are not. Talking
let's talk
points.
About the wage
are they
argument.
Up or down?
Okay, I got to go to a break.
But don't ask Black me to answer people, a question and then cut me off when I start to answer within two words. That's not a fair conversation.
Black people.
And then scream, it's my show.
Black people are now getting less per dollar than white people in the same marketplace.
Woo.
See, I know that doesn't concern you.
No,
that
it
concerns
doesn't.
Me.
Because it's a faulty comparison.
How?
Because you're
Black people.
You know why you're comparing you as a talk show host to this sister right here. And you're saying, hey, two out of four
what?
People in a radio business
you
make
don't
less
think,
than
you don't
no.
Think
you're comparing
the fact that the number is moving, Shelly, in the wrong direction should concern you.
It's not moving in a wrong direction.
Are you?
Rashad.
Wait a minute.
It's not moving.
Black people making less per dollar, continually moving in the direction of less by the week.
You're comparing
is not
every black
a concern
at the same time. That
that's not a concern for
of
you.
Of course it is. Yes, it is. God, we need to fix this. But you also at the same time tell me that African-American job creation is not real job creation because African-Americans are taking jobs that they don't want. So, of course, the numbers are going to be down.
Working 1 hour in one
right,
month
so,
is not employment. And that's the system Trump is using to
but you
say unemployment is down.
But you've already admitted that the six metric that you're using is already down too.
Let's talk
so
about this on the other
more.
Side. I'm way past my break. News and Talk 1380
Sorry.
WAOK. Now, Shelly Winter, I do admit and I do always make the distinction that this is now Trump's economy. And Democrats who continue to say it is not, they are being hypocritical. Because remember, when numbers were doing well under his first year, they said, well, it's not his economy right. yet. Give him two. He has 2 years, okay? You can't then maintain intellectual integrity as a political analyst and then say, oh, no, it's still not his economy.
It I is, didn't say that.
No,
oh,
you're
talking
no,
about
I'm
them.
Talking about them.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is squarely his economy
definitely.
Now, okay?
I would argue it's his party also.
Well, he's definitely whipped y'all into shape.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think the people have. Here's the thing. Trump hasn't whipped anybody into shape. What he's done is his supporters have whipped Congress into shape. Those senators who cast that vote, whether you agree or disagree, look at the, whatever you want to do, they were listening to their supporters, their voters.
Well,
they did not want to piss off their voters.
Because of Trump's influence over those voters. Let's
because
be very clear.
Because we finally have somebody who's standing up to the people who have been in charge for many, many years on the Republican side, on the Democratic side, who's been taking advantage of all of us, black, white, it doesn't matter, taking advantage of all of us. Let's be honest about that. You may vote Democrat, I may vote Republican, but we have to be honest to say that these people in charge have been taking taking advantage of both of us and everybody for a number of years.
I agree. And policy reigns supreme. And that's how we should play politics. But remember, sometimes policy is a defensive game against those who you feel as if are creating or enhancing policy that is harmful to you.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I would make the argument that we've been playing a defensive policy game for the last 40 years and we should change
well,
to
many
an
people
offensive
believe,
game.
Right, many people believe Trump is who you have to defend against now. That's why that number is so high.
I think
people believe
that's
that.
That's an emotion. I think that's an emotion. That
well,
should,
you can say that.
Yeah.
But there are some people who actually vote, not based on all policy. Policy is in the mix. But some voters say, you know what? I want to vote for somebody I can believe in. I want to vote for somebody who won't call the Ukrainian president and ask them to investigate their political opponent. I want to vote for that kind of person. And that means something. Even though that question would never come up on a debate stage, nobody would ever ask somebody running for president, will you call a foreign leader to investigate your political opponent? That will never be a question
but
ever
will
asked.
You, so here's a better question. Will you call the Ukrainian president to investigate corruption because Ukraine has been and will continue to be, unless someone stops it, the center of corruption in this world? I mean, Ukraine is it's known as a corrupt country. So will you have as you bring up
as a corrupt? So is America.
Of course, we all are. But there's
exactly.
But Ukraine
exactly.
by definition.
Don't you all say America is corrupt?
The whole world is corrupt.
Isn't that what you all say? So
but
why aren't we investigating?
You can't buy weapons in America and ship them off to other countries.
Okay.
But the point I'm trying to make here, Rashad, is you said earlier about people talking about having a policy position before they were elected. Trump has always maintained, even in interviews with Oprah and others, he's always maintained that we give foreign aid to countries and they use it and steal the money and it's corrupt.
But we still give foreign aid to countries.
Right.
So he hasn't changed the policy.
No,
so what are you talking about?
What I'm saying is he's looking into the corruption
looking
in Ukraine.
Okay. All right.
That's the question.
And remember, while he's looking into this corruption, the same thing he says he has the power to do, which is to withhold aid based on corruption.
Up to the deadline.
No, but he says he has the power to do that.
Up to the
that
deadline.
That is the same thing he's saying that Biden did to get rid of a certain prosecutor. And Biden says, of course I did it, but it was because it was a State Department policy.
Absolutely.
And the prosecutor was corrupt. So the same thing he says he has the power to do as president, he's saying that the Obama administration did not have the power to do.
No, he's never said that. He's never maintained that. Trump has maintained the whole time that Biden, with his son being on the board of Burisma, was corruption.
Where?
Period.
Where? Explain that corruption to me. Explain what the corrupt action actually
why did
was.
To get the job.
Because his daddy was vice president of the United
that's
States.
Corruption.
Name
that's
the name
corruption.
The statute.
That's the corruption.
Name the
there
statute.
Is no statute.
It's not against
ethical
the law.
Corruption.
It's ethical. That's
neither
right.
Neither is it against the law to call a president and say investigate this corruption.
If you're the
you
president of the
point.
United States.
No, you started with that
if
point.
If you're president
and
of the United States.
And then you took it to a criminal indictment and tried to impeach the man.
The impeachment is not a criminal indictment. Impeachment is not a criminal indictment. It is a constitutional process.
Right.
It is not a criminal indictment. Yeah, you took it there because him being president. Can you be charged with abuse of power?
If I'm president, you got to
No. Can you right now be charged with abuse of power?
Define abuse of power.
Can you be charged? Can you go to jail?
Define abuse of power.
No.
You got to define
you go to jail for the actual statute abuse of power?
No.
Why?
Because there's no definition of it.
No, that's
it's
not
nebulous.
Why. Cops can be arrested. Sir, cops can be arrested for abuse of power.
What does that mean, though?
Okay.
What does it mean?
That
you can't
means,
ask an open-ended question
sir,
and not tell me what it means.
Sir, that
did
means,
Trump abuse his power by
me,
calling up the president?
Let me
which
explain.
He's,
let me explain what it means. Abuse of power is only allowable as a charge on those who hold a position of public trust in government. Because you and I do not hold that position, we're not even allowed to ever be charged with abuse
of
power.
So why ask the question in the first place?
Because my point is, he was charged with what a constitutional authority can be charged with. We got more on the other side, 30 minutes after the hour. You're getting real with the Realest Man on Radio.
You talk to him.
A lot of people are on social media, Shelley Winter. Let me read some of these comments.
Yes, sir.
DJ says, nobody can be this stupid. Damn.
She's talking about you?
No, I highly doubt it. Tlaib says, me listening to Shelley Winter's bootlickology. Hot garbage. How can he talk with Trump's in his mouth? Man, that hurt.
It doesn't really. So here's my. Finish up, please. Because I'd like to answer those. Please finish up.
It gets better. Vernita says, wow, what a conversation. Love the exchange, Rashad. Another one says, you guys are having too much fun. Cornelia says, Shelly went to Knowles Radio. He's lost at least two shows already.
To Cornelius, that's the funniest thing ever. And I even commented on his comment on his Facebook page. That is hilarious.
Make sure you join the Real Talk with Rashad Richie Facebook group page, Real Talk with Rashad
Richie.
To it
those,
goes down.
To those, I people who say comments like with Trump's you-know-what in his mouth, you know, I can't respect those people, not because they're saying it about me. I don't care about that. I've been called all kinds of names. People disagree with me. That's fine. That's the nature of the game. But when you can't pose an intellectual argument, like you and I are having an intellectual argument, and here are these people on your page, you don't control it, calling names, saying I've got this man's, you know what I mean, in my
Have
mouth.
Have you heard That's what people said about me on your page?
Absolutely, and I reject that too. Right. And I reject that too because it's the thing is, it's not like we're up here calling each other names
right.
and shouting each other down. We're up here having an intellectual conversation about politics. Now, no matter what side of the fence you fall on, that's, I think, a good conversation to have. So for the eighth grade graduates that posted those things about his thing in my mouth and all that, learn to have a engaging debate about the issue.
Now,
being
you
discussed.
Realize you did what they did. You have now labeled them. You
Absolutely.
Called them a name. You threw
Absolutely.
Back an insult.
I defended myself.
You have to be okay with insults then.
I didn't say I wasn't.
Okay, cool. So you're okay with the insults.
I started off by saying I've been called many names. It doesn't right. bother me. Right. I'm just saying in this context, to say what they said kind of belittles the show in and of itself. Because we're having an engaging conversation.
Yeah, I don't think it belittles the show.
Of course it does. It does.
It belittles you.
No, it belittles the show because it's on the Rashad Richie page.
Yeah.
So if I don't.
Now,
on
the Rashad Richie page, Real Talk with Rashad Richie, is a free exchange. Now, I will kick people out for calling women the B word.
Right.
And for threatening language, like physical threats. I will absolutely dismiss
I wasn't good at that early on. Someone had attacked my sister, Nicole. One of my listeners over there, and I never saw it. She told me about it later.
Yeah.
And I always felt bad about that because I'm the same way as you.
Yeah.
You know, don't start calling sisters and women, period. Not, you know, any woman, any kind of names because you disagree with their politics.
Right. There you go. And let me read something.
Nor should they call us names, but that's a different.
That's very Trump-like of you to say. Let me go.
Unless they want to get clapped back, you know?
Let me go.
By the way, can you shout out, that was my numbers. Pick for your bumper, Nas, Hip Hop is Dead.
It was. It
I had
was
to bring
one.
Some New York in here.
It was some great.
Too much Goody Mob and
what?
Outcast.
What?
Just
Son,
too much.
You can, what?
It's too much. I needed a little Nas.
Get the hell about my studio. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the economy. The last segment, but I got to get this in. So the truth is about the numbers is that, yes, Trump owns the economy today, but the economy that he inherited was a good economy going in the right direction. So when you look at the economy of Trump and the economy of President Barack Obama, they are virtually the same as far as increases. Now, the only issue I have with President Trump is that he tries intentionally to take any credit away from the first black president of the United States who did a great job with the economy.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I don't think it's important that he's the first black president and he's trying to take it away.
I think that's important.
Okay, that's fair. But I think that it's politics, one. Number two, when Tony Dungy built the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then got fired after going to the playoffs and John Gruden came in, no one said Tony Dungy built this team. John Gruden got the Super Bowl trophy. So the point is no one's going to give –
But we're not at a Super Bowl level.
No, we're at the presidential level. So when you're running for reelection, no one's going to give credit to
yeah,
the
but
guy
the way
before
he intentionally
you. No more than
goes out of his way in order to disrupt – The
no different than Obama
legacy.
No different than Obama going out of his way to say that Bush left him with garbage.
That was true.
Of course, it's true, but it's politics.
That was actually
and
true.
And this is true too.
Tennessee and the guys. One course, is true. One is false.
No, one is not false. You can't say
it
it's
is false.
False
when Trump says he inherited an economic mess from President Obama. That is a false
okay.
statement.
You said that before. That's not.
Am I right?
You're right.
Okay,
I'll
that is
give
a false
you that.
Statement.
I'll get your. It's a false statement.
Let me read this, man, because we got to go. I want you to respond to this, okay? All right. So when you look at the trends, some of those trends.
It's not truly false, but it is. Okay, I'll call it a half truth.
Okay, great. Whatever makes you sleep well at night. Trends are weakening under Trump. Job growth has dropped from a monthly average of 216,000 during the Obama administration.
It just was 225 in January.
That was his second term.
It was just 225 in January.
That was his second term.
It was just 225
just in listen,
January.
Just listen.
Yeah, but I'm saying these numbers
you haven't even allowed me to finish the stat.
True. That's true. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
But it's 225 in January.
On an average of 216,000 during Obama's second term in his administration to a Trump average, it has dropped to 182,000 on average. Yes, they had a strong month in January, which did bring it up. But the average is still lower than Obama's economy.
What does your piece of paper there say about manufacturing jobs? Are they back?
All right, let me go to manufacturing. You asked me a question. I have the stats right here.
Good, I'm
okay?
asking.
So a manufacturing activity, based on a measure for manufacturing activity, it shows that the factory economy has dipped under the Trump administration.
What is a factory economy? Okay. I'm asking you about manufacturing jobs.
Okay.
Come on, don't give me factory economy.
That's part of it. Wait a minute.
What are the manufacturing jobs up or down?
Shelly, here's what you don't understand. Anytime we talk about manufacturing in economic terms, we call any manufacturing job, we call that factory economy. That is the actual economic definition of manufacturing jobs.
So you're saying
I'm telling you, man, it's called factory economy. Google it.
I'm asking Google a simple question.
It's called
Are manufacturing jobs up? That's it. I'm just asking a fundamental Google question.
Now.
And that's what I ask you. Are manufacturing jobs up? And you come to me with a factory economy.
Remember the
context. Are manufacturing jobs up? The context is you started telling me that job creation.
I'm going to wait till you finish. I'll finish my stats.
You started with job creation under Trump is lower than it was under Obama.
He's scared.
Job creation. No. I'm not scared.
I'm scared of the rest of the stats.
I'm not scared. I'm telling you. You just said.
Terrified.
I'm doing it. You said
scared.
You said job creation.
Not under, a damn on, source
dog.
In sight.
Come on, dog.
No stats. No nothing.
You said job creation under Trump was down versus Obama. Then I asked you a fundamentally fair question. Are manufacturing jobs up or down? And you tell me factory economy. I want to know if manufacturing jobs are up or down under Trump.
I'm going to answer the question based on the stats I was reading. Factory economy is...
They're up. So he waved his magic wand as to the Tlaib lady who said, I got somebody's thing in my mouth.
Right.
He pulled it out, waved his magic wand, and said factory jobs are up.
Factory employment is up.
Thank you.
That's a manufacturing sector. That's great news. Now, wages are still struggling with the African-American community.
But it's a job.
Moving in the wrong
direction.
It's a job.
It's a job.
Moving in the wrong direction.
We've never asked for wages. We've always asked for jobs.
Shelly, listen, no. No.
That's it. I've heard
it. We asked for livable wages, man.
Vernon Jordan, when he was head of the United Urban League under Carter, he said we have no full employment policy.
I don't give a damn.
This is what leadership has talked about.
Jordan.
This is what we talked about.
So here's what I care about. Right.
Thank you for having me.
Shelly, here's what I care about. When black people were making 80 cents on the dollar of their white contemporary in the marketplace, and that number under the Obama administration was moving even higher to that dollar for dollar ratio as we would like to see it.
Right.
That's moving in the right direction. You know why? Kill that music for me. The reason why I was moving in the right direction is because of a vigorous campaign and legal campaign launched by the Obama administration's DOJ that said if you engage in workplace discrimination, it's called structural bias.
Right.
We will sue your company.
Right.
Because of that policy, black wage earners were making up to 80% on the dollar of their white counterpart under the Trump administration.
They rolled that back?
And them rolling back that policy, it has now dropped to damn near 60 cents on the dollar.
That is a
problem for me.
Okay, so here's what the great Thomas Sowell says about any wage arguments. It's a fallacious and unserious argument to compare wages because you're not comparing apples to apples.
Wow.
Unless you're saying every talk show host in America makes X and black talk show hosts may be making Y, you're comparing everybody and everything.
Let me tell you the flawed your analysis is flawed.
No, it's not flawed.
Let me tell you why it's flawed.
Because everyone's
coming
in.
I say it's flawed.
Well, at least let me finish my
point. Sure, go ahead, quickly.
All right? Just like women, wages are low for women. There's many aspects to that wage argument.
Okay.
So you can't just throw out wages were going up under Obama for black people. Now they're going down.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Let's go vote for Bloomberg.
Okay.
That's an illogical argument.
Let me go ahead and answer your question about your numbers. The reason why your analysis is flawed is because it assumes that these are new individuals to the marketplace.
No, it's not new. It's every worker is not the same.
The individuals in the marketplace.
Every worker is not the same, so you cannot compare every wage to each other.
Why is there a difference? Why did black people make 80 cents on the dollar of white people under the Obama administration?
I don't know.
Only 61 cents on the dollar under Trump administration.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. But I can tell you this.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I bet you don't know.
I don't know. But I can tell you a wage argument under anybody because I can't.
I'm trying to know. You see, I care about that
number. Right, okay.
You're not even curious to that number.
I don't care.
Exactly.
I honestly don't care.
At least you're honest
about telling
it.
Me,
care.
You're telling me that the wages for black people in the last 3 years have cratered 20 cents on the dollar under Trump, but for the first 2 years, it was Obama's economy? Come on, brother. Trump had that one year.
That is the complexity of the economy.
Right.
That is the complexity of
the marketplace. So how do you not blame Obama's 2 years? If you tied, you said earlier in the show, Obama's first 2 years is Obama's. Trump's first 2 years is Obama's economy.
No, I said after
you
1 year.
Said,
no, sir.
Okay,
no,
so
sir.
After 1 year.
I said
so
after
Trump's
1 year,
economy in two
this,
years
this
has driven
economy.
Down black wages in, by 20%. That is not even possible economically.
Oh,
that is not possible economically.
That is so interesting, Shelly, that you say.
That is not possible economically
Shelly,
to drive down wages
Shelly,
20%.
Just because you say it over and over and over again and say it loud does not mean it's true. Now, let me give you where you find it. Scholars.org.
I don't care where you find it. I'm saying it's not possible.
Don't let my facts get in the way of your narrative.
No, I'm not.
Don't let my facts get in the way.
I'm not saying that.
I got to let you go, man.
Thank you for having me, my brother. I love you very much.
How can people follow you?
Oh, Facebook. And also, I have I got to do more, but I subscribe to my YouTube page, Shelly Winter on YouTube. Just subscribe so I can start putting up more videos.
All right. As always, man, completely insane talking to you. I appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, see, all
right.
You go.
404-892-2703.
Thanks for playing Nas, my brother.
Can't ice me. We here for life. Be on my second marriage. Hip hop's my first.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.